Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined today by Dr. Andy Woods. Dr. Woods, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here, Brannon. How you doing?
I am doing good. Great to have you here, my friend. All right, let's talk about this issue of Christians in voting. We're coming up here, what is it? Is it a week from this Tuesday, November 8th, a week from this Tuesday, Election Day, and it's important to vote, and it's important to get out there and vote. Now, we don't tell people what to vote, who to vote for. I mean, we do tell them from a biblical perspective, these are the philosophies, the ideas, the values, the worldviews, and then they can plug them into the candidates. We don't endorse candidates. But we do encourage people to vote, period. I have noticed, before we get into that topic with you, I have noticed increasingly some national pastors who wanted to bemoan Christian activism and wrote full books about Christian activism and calling people that are involved in Christian activism rebel-rousing malcontents. That's what they said. Claiming that our founding fathers sinned and violated New Testament principles when they founded America. That America was born in rebellion. And just, I mean, it could have been written by a Marxist, but it was written by, you know, a leading evangelical pastor. And this pastor that wrote the book, he's not the only one. This has been going on for decades and decades and decades. Now, all of a sudden, I notice a lot of these pastors that once trashed Christian activism and saying any money that was spent on Christian activism was money that was diverted away from the gospel, as though they're, you know, you can't have one without the other, because after all, if you have Christian activism that keeps Christian radio on the air, hey, guess what? We're giving out the gospel. If you have parental authority where you can raise your own kid, guess what? You can disciple your kid and teach your kid the gospel. So, I mean, it's a silly, silly concept or idea. Any money put toward Christian activism is money directed against the gospel. That's really, really silly. I mean, you could say that about everything. Do you belong to a golf course? Does this pastor golf? Does he belong to a golf club? Because any money spent on golfing could be spent money on the gospel. So that's a straw man argument. But I noticed a lot of these pastors that once talked this way, all of a sudden now they're wanting to lead the parade. What is happening here?
Well, the Bible says you reap what you sow. So if you preach pietism and you tell Christians to just focus on church and the gospel, and you just abandon the world and you're no longer salt and light, basically what's going to happen is the world system, you know, comprised of pagans, is going to turn on you. And now as that's happening, I know the particular pastor you're talking about, he doesn't like that, you know, the fact that his church is now being legally restricted. So now all of a sudden he's become Mr. Political Activist, when the reality of the situation is it's his own inactivism, you know, that led to his persecution and his need to suddenly become an activist. So I would just put it into the category you reap what you sow.
Well, and again, this pastor, although he's national and wrote a book, so he's very visible, there are a lot of pastors whose names we've never heard, you and I've never heard, that have taught this concept and idea. So we're not, you know, singling out one person. It's a philosophy and an idea that's so popular within, well, we could open the phone lines now, and people would come flooding into the calls saying that their pastor for years has told them, that's political, that's political, that's political. Well, we just want to have a salt and light committee that educates our people on what does the Bible say about active euthanasia? What does the Bible say about abortion? What does the Bible say about borders? What's the Bible say about, you know, whatever the issue might be? Transgenderism, LGBTQ. We want to frame a biblical response to the issues of the day. No, that's political. Well, it's not. And of course, we go back to the original definition of the word political. Politics means the affairs of the city. You're going to be involved in the affairs of the city unless, you know, you're sitting in some tower, you know, where everyone, all your meals are brought to you every day and you have no, you know, influence or contact with said community. If politics means the affairs of the city, you're going to be involved in the affairs of the city in some way. As I've said 1,000 times, every church has exit signs over their exit because that's involved in the affairs of the city that say, hey, there are codes. You have building codes. You have codes for your church bus ministry. You have codes for your Christian camp ministry. You have a license and insurance and things that you still are required to do as a church. You're involved in the affairs of the city. What I think it comes down to for some of them is either a pietism that, as some have said, well, this world is not our home. Our kingdom is in heaven. What do we care about this world? That is a selfish, pious view. So I think some of it comes down to pietism. Others, it comes down to they don't know about these issues. They don't know about these issues. They don't maybe have an interest in them. They don't have time to study them. And since they're not an expert on how do you respond to the issue of active euthanasia or borders and national security and the digital economy and the World Economic Forum, and most of the things that we talk about here, you're one of the very few pastors to understand these. Would you agree with me? Most pastors in America, they don't either have the time or don't want to understand the issues that we talk about here with you. Therefore, if they're not an expert, they don't want to talk about it. If they don't have the knowledge, they don't want to talk about it. A quick way to say we're not dealing with that topic is just to say it's political. I'm trying to get to the root of what motivates this kind of response. Is it pietism? Is it arrogance? Is it I want to be an expert on every topic, and those topics I'm not an expert on, we're not going to talk about? Is it I don't want money diverted away from my church to Christian activist organizations? What is it?
Well, I think they've taken the Bible and they've shrunk its influence. You know, the Bible in their minds is just a book about how to get to heaven. And that's the most important issue as far as we're concerned, how to get to heaven.
Yes.
The gospel. But what you'll discover in the Bible is it comments on every area of life. It'll comment on, and I've got all these graphics in those slides, the slideshow I sent you, but it'll comment on politics, economics, borders, literature, finances. In fact, most people may be shocked to discover that the Bible says more about finances than it does any other single subject. And when the Bible addresses those issues, it's just as inspired as it is in John chapter 3, verse 16, you know, which gives us the path of salvation. In fact, what you'll discover in Scripture is that God is actually the author of government. God created government going back to the Noahic covenant, Genesis 8 and 9. And so if God created the institution of government, a pastor, a Christian, should have a natural interest, you know, in that topic.
Right.
So it's just a matter of letting the Bible say what it wants to say in every area. And a pastor doesn't have to be an expert on every issue.
No.
They just have to let the Bible speak. We call that the whole counsel of God's word.
Well, and you can also find probably, and I bet you've done this. I know you've done this because I've seen a lady from your church come on your show. You don't have time to understand every topic and study every topic, although you do study an awful lot of them. But when you have an issue or need someone to help you, you actually bring people from your own church onto your own show. And I see you have a lady that comes on every now and then. That's kind of her area of expertise and her gift, right?
Yeah, she has a proclivity, you know, for, you know, researching local politics and other political matters, which, I mean, I don't have time to stay on top of every,
right,
you know, school board race, city council race, but she can do it. And we can bring people like that on the show, you know, that deal with those subjects. We just did two shows, one with Johnny Teague, who I'm trying to get Brandon, him to acquiesce.
Yeah.
I think he's interested.
Yep,
we're going to get him wise.
On. Yep, we're going to get him on.
He's running for the U.S. House of Representatives. He's won his primary. So he is the candidate, the conservative candidate for Congressional District number 7 for the U.S. House of Representatives from the state of Texas. And then, so I had him on a show. We did an interview. And then I also had on, this is the one that just got posted this morning, an individual named Rick Miller, who's also a member of our church, who was in the Texas House for a number of years. And we just had a conversation on key legislation that's coming, why Christians should be involved in this arena. And so a pastor doesn't have to be an expert on everything, but he, no doubt, the providence of God has placed a lot of people around him that are expert, and draw from the expertise in your own flock and let people use their spiritual gifts as well.
Yes, yes, absolutely. All right, so let's go to the PowerPoint. Voting issues: stewardship, salt and light, scattered mind, sacrifice. Let's talk about these.
Well, you know, this is related to why we ought to engage public policy in the United States, you know, and the very least thing we should do is be registered to vote and actively vote. Why do that from a biblical perspective? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, that we are stewards. It says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. So a steward is not an owner, but a manager. We manage things for God. And the fact of the matter is, God has given every single person within the sound of my voice three things to manage. They all begin with the letter T: time, talent, and treasure. Those things don't belong to us. They belong to God. And we know from the parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, beginning around verses 14 through, I think, around verse 30, that the time in history will come when God will ask us what we did with what he gave us. And one of the things to add to your stewardship list as an American Christian is your own government, because we have the ability to influence the direction of public policy in this country that very few people have ever had in human history and can only dream of. And I guarantee you, at the Bema Seat Judgment of Christ, the Lord is going to ask every American Christian, what did you do with the freedoms I gave you in the United States?
Wow. All right, let's go to the next one. Ben Franklin. Here's a quote from Ben Franklin, or a fact about him. At the close of the Constitutional Convention of 1787, when queried as he left Independence Hall on the final day of deliberation, in the notes of Dr. James McHenry, of one of Maryland's delegates to the convention, a lady asked Dr. Benjamin Franklin, "Well, doctor, what have you got, a republic or a monarchy?" Franklin responded, "A republic, if you can keep it."
Notice where he put the onus.
Yeah, on us.
On us. He said, look, and this is called the 5,000, there's a book called The 5,000-Year Leap, and it's the idea that miracles have a tendency to cluster in human history. Miracles are infrequent, and the point of the book is what happened at the Constitutional Convention, when you understand it all, was an absolute miracle. I mean, that Constitution shouldn't exist. And that document gives more political and economic freedom to more people than any other document in the history of mankind. And Franklin says, here's your miracle. It happened. The 5,000-year leap. Now it's up to you to maintain it and to preserve it for the next generation.
And, you know, I bet if you were to ask the average pastor in America, and I'm not picking on pastors, it's not pick on Pastor's Day, but pastors have such an influence. And, you know, was it to Tocqueville who said that, you know, one of the things about America that was so great was our churches. He acknowledged that our churches and our pulpits is what helped to make America free. It was the pastors and the Black Robe Regiment who took off their black robes and went to war to defend the family and their community and their flock. So pastors have always had so much power, which is why the communists and those groups wanted to penetrate those churches and then shut them down. And Lyndon Johnson wanted to use his position as a lawmaker in Washington to put shackles on the church, not to speak about certain issues and candidates, because he almost lost his re-election by the churches. So these people go after the church and the pastors because they know they're powerful. But when I come back, the answer to the question is, do you think the average pastor in America, if asked, what form of government do we have? What do you think they would say? Do you think they would say a constitutional republic or democracy? We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House, and we just got another shipment of freeze-dried food with a 25-year shelf life. Now, I got a big announcement. Not only can you order it at WVWTVstore.com online, but we have now, as of the last week of August 2022, we have set up a specific and new number where we can take your freeze-dried food order over the phone. We have heard from a lot of you who don't want to order over the line, over the internet, I should say. A lot of you don't want to order over the internet. You want to order over a phone line. And then there are those of you that don't even have a computer, and you listen different ways, but you don't have a computer to order on. So here's a new phone number. I want to make it clear, though, this is only for making orders. You can order freeze-dried food. You can order some of my books. You can make a contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation. You can order Ozarks conference tickets. It is an order line only. This is not where you call and ask general questions. The people that answer this phone line, that's not what they do. And so they will politely tell you that and have to hang up so they can handle customer order numbers only. This is an order line only. So you can order everything still at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, or you can call 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Again, 901-468-9357. Remember now we've got the freeze-dried food that comes in, well, two-week option. You got the 72-hour test kit. You can get the 72-hour test kit and just try it out. Then we got the two-week option, the four-week option, three-month emergency food supply, six-month emergency food supply, and the one-year emergency food supply. Maybe you want to do 2 years. Well, you do 2 1-years. I personally, for my family, have at least a 2-year supply. A gentleman called the other day. He wanted a 3-year supply. We can handle all that for you, folks. We have plenty of inventory right now. Can't promise you what the future will be like. We've seen opportunities come up where, you know, things happen and we can't get the freeze-dried food. That's not the case now. So you do want to order while you can get it. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com, or 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357 to get your freeze-dried food while you can. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Joining me is Dr. Andy Woods. His website is andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org. Dr. Woods, before the break, I asked this question. Do you think if you were to ask the average pastor in America, not the average American, I know what they would say, what the average pastor say if asked, what form of government do we have? What would their answer be?
Well, because public policy is not on their short list of things to emphasize, they'd probably just parrot the answer most people parrot, that we're a democracy. And of course, as you're going to lead into, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. And our founding fathers called pure democracy mobocracy.
Yeah.
And thank God we're not a democracy, or we never would have had Donald Trump as president. The second Bush was elected to president also because we're not a pure democracy. And if we're a pure democracy, then all of a sudden the majority can rise up with 51% of the votes and say, Bill of Rights is gone. Well, you can't do that in America because those are unalienable rights. So we're very clearly not a pure democracy. We're a republic, but we use democratic means to elect those that represent us in a Republican form of government.
And the reason I asked the question and posed this is because this is what should give every pastor, and I hope pastors that are listening, many of them already know this, that are listening to this show, but those that maybe are listening in that don't normally listen to the show or don't really, you know, they're new, this pastor should equip you to be able to deal with any flack you get. And I understand the job of a pastor is a very, very hard job, and it's like herding cats, you know, but in the Bible, it's referred to sheep, and that's why the shepherd has a rod, because he sometimes has to pull them back from the cliff. He sometimes has to maybe use the end of that rod to thump them in the hindquarters or something, but it's a tough, tough job to herd sheep. They're not the smartest of animals, apparently, but pastors have a lot of people coming at them and a lot of coalitions, those who want to do salt and light, those who don't want to do salt and light. I remember having a group of guys who were running for governor in Tennessee. One of them said, I want to come speak to your worldview class at a local church that was hosting it. And people from all kinds of churches came to this one church where I would teach this on a Tuesday night. And one gubernatorial candidate showed up, said, I want to come speak to your group. Will you let me? I said, sure, come on. Well, the word got out pretty soon. All the gubernatorial candidates called me, including the one who went on to become the governor of Tennessee for two terms a few years ago. He's not governor now. But he called my cell phone, and I answered. He told me who he was, and I was like, oh, it was Bill Haslam, whose family owns the Pilot Truck Stops. And I'm like, wow, okay. And he's like, hey, I heard you had so-and-so speak to your worldview class. Could I come speak to them? I said, sure, you can come speak to them. Any of them, Republican, Democrat, come speak. But they're also going to ask questions, so be ready. Because yeah. I've trained them well. Be ready. Yeah. And so he's like, great. Well, he was one of the few guys that actually brought a Bible with him and actually went to the Bible and read some verses. And he actually used the verses in context as to some of his policies that he wanted to enact. But there was a person in the church, in this local church that we were using, and again, people coming from churches all over the Mid-South to the class, the influential older man who said, no, House cannot be doing this. He's dragging politics into the church. Well, wait a minute. We're a group of Christians getting together to study the issues of the day that impact us, from gay marriage, homosexual marriage, LGBT, active euthanasia, abortion, whatever, borders. And here we have a chance to talk to what the Bible calls ministers of righteousness, which is what they're supposed to be. And God created government. Why can we not interview them? Why can we not hear from them and then challenge them or encourage them or seek questions from them on a Tuesday night, not in a, quote, church service? This older man flipped out. Well, guess what? We had to move somewhere else. We had to move to a hotel ballroom. Well, you wonder why the church is in a mess? We've been relocated to hotel ballrooms. And that's exactly what happened with our worldview weekends. Finally, oh, you guys are too controversial. We were relocated to hotel ballrooms. Until the hotel ballrooms, hotels got concerned because the Islamists and the Southern Poverty Law Center and Muslim Brotherhood and Antifa and Black Lives Matter started threatening our hotels, and then they kicked us out. Well, what they meant for evil, God meant for good, and here we are bigger and reaching more people than ever. But the reality is we kicked out the truth from our church meetings, even though that's not a Sunday morning service, and I can understand leaving that maybe not in a Sunday morning or Sunday night service or Wednesday night. But to have a group in a church and an older man in the church freaks out because you're bringing candidates in who are asking to come and address the Christian people and then open it up for questions to grill them, and we wonder why we're losing. We wonder why we're losing. And so I would say to the pastor today, when you have those kind of people come to you, here's what you should say. We're a constitutional republic, which says what the divine has ruled on, we don't rule against. And therefore, don't you think we should know what thus saith the Lord is all about when it comes to these issues? So what you're telling me is our people shouldn't study the word of God and have a biblical worldview on the issues of the day, which is consistent with our form of government. And why would you say that? And when they shackle this church and lock the doors or throw the pastor in prison, I'm going to blame you. I'm not going to blame the world. I'm not going to blame the police or the sheriff. I'm going to blame you because you were a useful idiot for them to shut down our churches because you wanted to neuter the church. That's put it back, pastors, put it back on these people coming to you that are bullying you to not teach thus saith the Lord. Because at the end of the day, you're not teaching politics. You're teaching thus saith the Lord. And in America, we're so blessed that our constitutional republic is all about, well, what does the Lord say about this? Because we don't want to rule against him. That's the very essence of a constitutional republic. So you say to them, so what you're telling me is you don't want our people to learn the Bible and live out what the Bible says in our form of government. How ignorant are you? What do you say to that as a response to these pastors can throw to these people that come to them?
Well, you know, later on in that PowerPoint, there's a quote I give that came from allegedly Hitler to Niemöller. I mean, you'd have to scroll quite a bit.
Well, here it is.
Down the road here.
Well, here's one. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. That's a great one by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, by the way, Hitler hung him by a piano wire.
Yeah. Well, scroll forward a couple.
More? Here, one.
Yeah, right there. Right
All
there.
Right.
This comes from, I found this in Chuck Colson's book, Kingdom and Conflicts.
And I've also found it in Erwin Lutzer's book, Hitler's Cross.
Okay. So it's a great quote. It's Hitler speaking to Niemöller, who was an outspoken pastor in Hitler's day. And Hitler said to Niemöller, quote, "I will protect the German people. You take care of the church. You pastors should worry about getting people to heaven and leave this world to me," close quote. We know how that story ended. And so this idea that our influence should only relate to spiritual things but not to so-called secular things, this false dichotomy between the sacred and the secular, that comes right out of the devil's mouth.
Yeah.
And that's designed to shrink our influence so the godless can take over our culture.
Well, that's a very good point, because here's how it started out in the early 90s, as so many churches were forming salt and light committees in the 90s. And I cannot tell you the number of salt and light committees that were trying to be formed, and the pastor and the church leadership wouldn't allow it. Then there were churches in town that became known. Their churches were known for having a pastor that said, absolutely, you can have a salt light committee. You can advertise the things that you want to in the church bulletin. You will promote your meetings. We'll put it in announcements from the pulpit. Absolutely, you can have a salt and light committee. Amen. And those churches started growing and exploding. Some people left the other churches and went over to the church that wanted to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God and actually live out a Christian worldview and provide points of action to a frustrated congregation. And some of those churches that said no lost a lot of members to the couple churches in town that became known for teaching a comprehensive worldview. And then some of them, after they realized they were losing nickels and noses, decided, I guess we better start a Salt Lake committee. No kidding. But reality is, the churches were told, don't be political. We can't be political. We can't be political. Well, that went on for a lot of years in a lot of churches. No issues were addressed related to the issues of the day, right? And then comes along the Gospel Coalition and smooth-sounding young people like David Platt and Matt Chandler and older guys like John Piper and Tim Keller, and they all started teaching a leftism, socialism, social justice, and all these things that we've discussed in my book, Marxianity. And guess what happened? A church that was not educated on the issues drank it in and accepted the Kool-Aid. Now, all of a sudden, they went from, we can't be political, therefore we cannot talk about the issues of the day from the Bible. So people are ignorant. They're uneducated. They don't have the knowledge. Then along comes a couple decades later, all of these wolves who tell them, here's how you need to be involved in the gospel. What it really was leftist politics disguised as Christianity, and the church that had been left unprepared and unequipped and without knowledge for 20-plus years because the pastors and the church leaders said, no, we can't do that. All of a sudden, they embraced it, and the pastor himself embraced it and brought the Gospel Coalition right into the church and started dragging the church leaders and the young men to Gospel Coalition meetings, and pretty soon that church is now off the rails to the left. Isn't it interesting? They went from no politics, what they really meant was no politics from the right, which really wasn't politics from the right. It was actually teaching, thus saith the Lord, to, after no training and equipping, now they're pushing full cultural Marxism, globalism. The very same church that didn't want to be political is extremely political from the left, because there was a void.
Yeah, I would just say nature abhors a vacuum. And so if you're going to create a vacuum, eventually that vacuum is going to be filled by something else. This is an explanation of why all of these apolitical churches, so-called, are now moving in a woke, sort of direction. It reminds me of that parable Jesus told, about how when a demon is cast out and it kind of roams around and it finds seven friends worse than itself.
Yes.
And it says, hey, let's go back into the body that I was vacated from, because it hasn't been filled by anything else. And the end state of that person is worse than how it started. Mm-hmm. That's what's flashing in my mind as I hear you describing these apolitical churches that have moved in a woke direction.
So we have stewardship, we have salt and light, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. John Winthrop said, "For we must consider that we shall be as a city set upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken and so cause him to withdraw his present help from us, we shall be a story and by word through the world." We shall be a story and a byword through the world. So salt and light. Again, this is why they were called salt and light committees. And do you remember, were you involved in churches enough in the early 90s to remember all the controversy sweeping the nation through salt and light committees and pastors and wanting them and pastors who did want them? And it was really controversial.
Yeah. You know, I actually, when I started here at the church on that now, well, I'll tell you, I hear the music. I'll tell you on the other side of the break.
All right, Dr. Andy Woods, his website, andywoodsministries.org, andywoodsministries.org. Ours, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. They go to that wide shot on television, and there's an empty pet bed there. I have to find out where she is. I just noticed she's not in here. She's missing some great stuff. She's Delta, for those who are wondering who she is. It's Delta. They went to a wide shot on the camera, like, wait a minute, Delta's not here. All right, we'll be right back after this break. Don't go away. In March of 2022, Biden signed an executive order dealing with cryptocurrencies. The Federal Reserve and the Secretary of the Treasury are all talking about America moving to digital currencies. Many nations are now talking about moving to digital currency. My friends, I've been warning folks for years that when they go to a digital currency combined with social credit scores, they'll be able to turn you off, turn off your bank account, just like that. We saw recently in Canada where they implemented emergency powers and began to seize the bank accounts of people that simply were doing peaceful protesting in favor of freedom and liberty. We already know that in America, we who are patriotic conservative Christians have been deemed domestic terrorists for showing up at school board meetings and letting our school boards know we don't want our children taught Marxism under the guise of critical race theory. We don't want the mandated mask onto our children. We don't want mandated vaccines. And yet, that has many labeled by the FBI as potential or actually domestic terrorist. We now know that the World Economic Forum, openly in their own documents, is calling for a digital currency and digital ID for everyone in the world. And we know the Biden regime is fully on board. They openly state that your digital identity will be tied to social credit scores and your ability to get a loan will be tied to that information. Why would you be under the thumb of the globalists and the elite when you already know what it is they're saying about you and what they're doing in America and around the world? Why would you leave yourself vulnerable to them turning off your account, leaving you helpless? My friends, I believe this is where precious metals come in. I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And for years, I've been advising my audience to take seriously becoming educated on the issue of precious metals, and particularly numismatic. Many people don't even know what numismatic coins are. They're coins that are 1933 and older, and by law, they're private. It's a great way, I believe, for people to store their wealth, not to make money, but to protect your money as a hedge against inflation. If you want to get a free report with no obligation, I urge you to call my friend Wes Peters. I've been working with Swiss America as a sponsor of our organization and conferences for over 15 years. Wes is a retired Marine. You can text him your name and number, and he'll send you the packet of information, no obligation. You don't even have to call him. You can simply text his cell phone at 602-558-8585. Give him your mailing address. Say, "I want the free packet of information Brandon talked about," and it'll be on its way. Just text him your name and address to 602-558-8585. Then after you get the packet of information, go through it, and when you're ready to have your questions answered, you can call Wes back. That number again to text your name and address to get the free packet of information that's no obligation is 602-558-8585. Again, 602-558-8585. Don't you think you've been given plenty of warning for what's coming? Isn't it time for a prudent man, a wise man, to take refuge? All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Okay, there she is. She's back. She was outside. All right, so she's back. All is right with the world. Delta's in the house. All right. So, Dr. Woods, again, we went to the text related to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 16, being salt and light. And my question to you before the break was, do you remember all that controversy about salt and light committees? As though that should be controversial, right?
Yeah. When I first came to this church in 2010, I had some people want to kind of corner me and talk to me in my office and say, you know, Pastor, we're a little bit worried that you're a little too political in the pulpit. Now, fortunately, those complainers have since long since left the church. But the way I handled it is I have a great big book. It's actually volume 1 of 2, and it's entitled Political Sermons of the Colonial Clergy.
Huh.
And I said, you know, if you think I'm political, I want you to take this home and read it. And I want you to see some of the sermons that were preached when our nation was born. And you'll see by way of comparison that my stuff, in comparison to theirs, were that you said it earlier, they were calling people to war and to fight right there in the pulpit. You know, you'll see that my stuff is pretty mild by way of comparison. So this idea that we need to separate the political from the spiritual, I mean, that's not how our country was started. That's not the traditions of America.
And maybe this statement will shock people, but Jesus was confronting the political leaders of his day, the religious leaders of his day. You know, people seem to forget that the Jewish leaders were also political leaders in that theocracy of Israel. So Jesus was encountering not just the religious leaders, he was challenging and refuting the political leaders.
Yeah, this is why Jesus had, by my count, 6 trials, 3 religious, 3 political from Rome. Religious in the sense that he was transgressing the Sanhedrin, the political authority, the Herodian dynasty, the political authority over the nation of Israel. And because Rome had taken away from Israel the right to execute their own criminals, they turned him over to Rome, and he was in the process transgressing Rome. I mean, Jesus, when you look at it from that angle, was probably one of the most political, polarizing people that's ever walked the face of this earth.
That's a very interesting statement. And I bet you in that day, there were a lot of people that saw him as just as much of a political, controversial figure as a religious one.
Oh, yeah, that's the Jews' whole point when they conspired against him. This man is going to cause an insurrection.
Yes.
And Rome is going to come and take away our position. I mean, you'll see that in John chapter 11. So if you're not willing to look at the gospel and the historical figure of Jesus through a political lens, I mean, you miss the whole point of what's happening in the gospels.
Yes. John Winthrop, it will be a service to the church of great consequence to carry the gospel into those parts of the world, to help on the coming of the fullness of the Gentiles, and to raise a bulwark against the kingdom of Antichrist, which the Jesuits labor to rear up in those parts, end quote. Well, of course, we know the Jesuit order. We have a Jesuit pope. We see what they're doing. Time magazine did a big piece on the Jesuits. We've discussed the Jesuits. Malachi Martin was a Jesuit. He left the Jesuit order. He began to write books, as many of them fiction, but they read like fact and fiction mixed together, warning that the Masons, the ideology of Freemasonry, which is really occultism, New Age occultism, interfaithism, paganism, will merge with Marxism. And he warned this is what is going to help bring down America. Voila. He said it will actually help prepare the way for a Marxist pope. And of course, he died before Pope Francis came on the scene. People wondering why the mention of the Jesuits by John Winthrop there, that's the case. Don't forget, one of the states in New England, they forbade Jesuits to be in their colony. Before they became a state, they refused to allow a Jesuit in their colony. They knew what they were up to. But here it is, the church, the Christians should be raising a bulwark against the kingdom of Antichrist. Yet the Gospel Coalition and so many of these so-called Christian groups today that are pushing social justice, open borders, the vaccine shot, boy, the mark of the beast, if you will, it's laying the foundation for it, digital ID, they are helping build the Antichrist kingdom instead of being a bulwark against the kingdom of Antichrist, as John Winthrop warned the church to be.
Yeah, I mean, just real quick, I mean, who is John Winthrop? He was one of our early Puritan leaders And he's the one that said America is going to be a shining city on a hill. Words, as you know, Brandon, later quoted by
Ronald Reagan
mm-hmm. in his farewell address. But where did Winthrop get this language of a city on a hill? It's right out of the salt and light statements that Jesus makes in Matthew 5. And then Winthrop goes on in the Winthrop papers, and he says, in so doing, America is actually existing to be a bulwark or a defense against the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so you look at a quote like that, and it's no wonder that the Klaus Schwabs of the world, their biggest concern in terms of bringing in their one world totalitarianism, their biggest concern is, how are we going to subdue America? Well, that's what Winthrop said the genetics, our spiritual DNA, was going back to Winthrop's time.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the founder's sources. 34% the Bible. 8.3% was Baron Montesquieu. 7.9% William Blackstone, one of the leading scholars, legal scholars for the Founding Fathers, who is the one that defined what a constitutional republic is. We don't rule against God. And 2.9% John Locke. So
yeah,
why did you put this in here? Why is this in your presentation?
Well, it refutes the idea that Christians should not take the Bible and bring it into public life. I mean, obviously, America's founders didn't believe that. That comes from Donald Lutz and Charles Heineman, two political scientists around 1980. They started to research everything they could get their hands on related to what the founding fathers were quoting.
Yeah.
And what they discovered is four times as many as any other single source, they were quoting the Bible. And beyond the Bible, they were quoting Montesquieu, Blackstone, and Locke. And if we had time to point out, all three were steeped in the Bible themselves. I mean, it's from Montesquieu we get separation of powers. It's from Blackstone that we get inalienable rights. And it's from Locke that we get the whole idea of social compact and limited government. And all three of those writers or philosophers were steeped in the Bible. And this is the birth of America. When our founders were not quoting the Bible, they were quoting political philosophers heavily steeped in the Bible.
Yes.
And if it wasn't for the Bible, we wouldn't have the United States of America. So all these people that say, you know, government is just secular, keep the Bible out of government, I don't know if they understand how this country came into existence.
Well, then you add the as we're about to celebrate next month, Thanksgiving, and the Pilgrims, and the Puritans, and the Mayflower Compact, which says we will teach our children to read so they can read the Bible. We want to be, you know, people that send out the gospel to the world. Then you start finding out about the Indian that walks out of the woods, who providentially God had, I believe, again, a perfect example of evil. What was meant for evil, God meant for good. They kidnapped the poor guy, and he's taken to Europe as a slave, basically. He learns English. He makes his way back to the New England, what becomes the colonies, just in time for the Pilgrims to arrive. They hit the wrong place, not even in the right place. He walks out of the woods speaking English, voila, and he helps them. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You know, providentially, God is helping to give birth to this nation of America. Now, I don't believe in America being a theocracy,
right. But
I do believe God has orchestrated America. I think God has orchestrated the coming about again as the nation of Israel. America is not Israel, but God, in his wisdom, used a nation like America to get out the gospel, to be a friend to the Jewish people. And if it wasn't for the president of the United States at the time, we Israel maybe wouldn't have had as easy go. I mean, it was hard enough, but the United States of America was the first nation to recognize Israel as a nation again. So what I'm saying is God has providentially used America in some incredible ways.
Yeah, and to deny that is just to be historically illiterate and to deny our history. Everybody's talking about deniers. I mean, I call these people history deniers. You know, we have the climate deniers why don't we call these people historical deniers that are denying the Christian roots of the United States?
And we now see a poll that I dealt with on TV the other night, about 25 million self-described Christians will not vote on the 8th. And that's partly why we're doing this, is to say to people, we're not telling you who to vote for. We're telling you the philosophies and the ideas, I should say more, the values and the ideas that are in line with the Bible, those that are not. So vote according to a biblical worldview, what the Bible says. And we help you understand, when we can, what the Bible says on these issues, from stem cell research and some very complicated issues that I don't always understand. I have to go find experts to say, help me understand what is stem cell research and adult stem cells versus, you know, aborted stem cells and these things. So these are very complicated issues sometimes. And we have to really look at them and then say, okay, here's where we have to come down, because this is what we believe the Bible is instructing us to do. Once we help you understand the issues, we don't need to tell you who to vote for. We think you'll be guided by the plumb line of the Bible and lining the Bible up with the candidate and his positions. But we are saying to you, go vote. And I would say go vote on Election Day, not early voting. I know for some of the older people, that's difficult, standing in line. But if you can, bring a chair and move your chair as you go. But we say vote on Election Day to overwhelm these algorithms where they're trying to cheat and steal. But 25 million self-described Christians saying they're not going to vote, we guess we can't complain too much when we start losing our liberties and freedoms if we, the salt and light, won't go vote.
Well, it's like telling the salt to stay in the salt shaker and to tell the light to, you know, just stay in a dark cave. I mean, it's contrary to what we are. We're supposed to be permeating every area of life, including the ballot box. 2 Timothy 3, verse 17 says, if you'll let it, the Bible will equip you for every good work. So part of every would be equipping you with the right political philosophy, so you don't have to be told who to vote for. I mean, you'll know who to vote for when you start analyzing candidates through the lens of God's word.
And today I got a text from some people in town saying, who should I vote for alderman and school board? And again, I don't follow the local politics as well and the candidates as well as I should, but I quickly recognized a few names. I said, well, I know this guy. He's a Christian businessman. I know exactly who he is. I know his wife. I know his kids are. I know the business he runs. I interact with him on a regular basis. And if I don't, the people on my staff are. I said, this guy is a solid Christian. He's Pentecostal, but hey, and he and I joke about it. He keeps telling me I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and come to his church. But when it comes to, so his Baptist friend, me, and the Pentecostal, you know, but we agree on the essentials. And I said, here's who I go for on this one. And now as far as this school board, I just actually got a video from this school board person in my text somehow. Here, you know, so again, sometimes we do have to reach out because we don't know who the people are, and I have to go research them myself. But I find a lot of Christians want to know. That's why voter guides, nonpartisan voter guides, are such a help to Christians and to everybody. Let's open the phone lines. We had stewardship, salt and light, scattered mind, and sacrifice can wait, or we get a quick summary. But 1-800-347-9829, your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate all the radio shows that I present to you that are free at worldviewradio.com? How about all the TV shows? I'm on TV 4 hours a day, and you can watch all of it for free at wvwtv.com. It's free for you, but it's not free for me. Do you know I spend thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bills? If you appreciate all the free radio shows, all the free TV shows, guess what? I need your support. We are a listener-supported broadcast. How about my new Worldview Report? You know that's been picked up by 6 different television networks? We don't charge them. We let them take that for free. We let a lot of different networks pick up our programming free of charge. But guess what? It costs, well, tens of thousands of dollars to produce these shows each and every month. Our radio shows, our TV shows, the IT guys that maintain the websites and the Roku channel and all we do. We need your support. And one way you can do it is by making a contribution right now at wvwfoundation.com. We really need your support. wvwfoundation.com, wvwfoundation.com. You can also call this number. This number now is only for making a contribution or ordering products online. It's not a customer support number where you call and ask a bunch of questions. The people who answer this phone are only for taking your order or where you can make a contribution. And that number is 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. Again, area code 901-468-9357. And again, you can also make a contribution online at wvwfoundation.com, or you could use our mailing address, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee. That's Collierville, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. Again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. So there's your three ways to support us: through the mail, over the phone, or online. However you support us, and how much, doesn't matter. The fact you support us is so greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your support. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Let's go to the phone calls. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, as we're talking about, well, Election Day is coming up, and 25 million self-described Christians are saying they won't even go vote. So we're discussing this issue. Let's go to the issue and see what George has to say about it. George from Albany, Illinois. Thank you for calling in today, George.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. The Bible in Deuteronomy says that we are to love the Lord God with our strength and our might and our soul and our, you know, we're supposed to dedicate our life to him. Now, that is the pH test for every candidate, but we're getting a whole bunch of the other people. And if you stop and think about it, we have tried every form of government in the last 6,000 years, and none of them work without God being the center of it. Even, you know, communism and theology or theocracy are so close together, you'll own nothing, but you'll be happy. But Jesus Christ has to be that leader because he can't be swayed one way or the other, and he's not interested in money.
Thank you, George. Isn't that interesting that he said there, government doesn't work without God, and certainly our American government doesn't, because the people are accountable to God, and the elected officials are accountable to the people. In our form of government, the elected officials are the servants of the people, not the masters. The elected officials are to be the servants or representative, like your lawyer or your insurance agent. They represent you in matters. You can hire, you can fire, they answer to you. They're your servant. They're to be ministers ministering to you, ministering on your behalf for good. So the elected officials answer to the people, and the people answer to God. And government, that way is described in the Bible. It works. And like George said, without God, government doesn't work, because God's the one that orchestrated the idea of government. Three institutions: family, government, church, government, civil government. Tony from Wisconsin, thanks for calling in today, Tony, on line two.
I haven't been on your program for a while. I just wanted to say that I look forward to voting, whether it's the presidential or the midterms. And if the people that are born again Christians won't go out and vote, they must be wanting socialism to take over and to have situations happen like people getting shoved on the subway inside of New York and everything else that's going with that. And one other point, Brandon, with the way the kind of lies that the Democrat Party and the socialists are trying to shove down people's throats, it reminds me of an episode of Gilligan's Island when the skipper and a professor tell Gilligan that those headhunters are just a figment of his imagination.
Oh, you got to love it when Gilligan's Island comes in. It's a great analogy. Thank you, Tony. Great call. You made me laugh as well, so I appreciate both. Bill, line three. Bill from Fountain Hills, Arizona. And you know, I know exactly the episode he's talking about, by the way. I don't know what that says about Tony and I. Maybe a lot. Maybe good, right? Billy from Fountain Hills, Arizona. Thanks for calling in, Billy.
Hey, I just wanted to call and tell you the kind of problems I'm having with finding out good information about candidates for the coming election.
Yes,
it
Billy.
Is a pain. And I might suggest that church members share this, and maybe one will go and spend, you know, some time researching a candidate, and another one will do a different candidate, and then they can all get together and kind of share their information.
Absolutely.
I've even
so
been
helpful.
Doing that with my neighbors who aren't, you know, Christians, and they've been very appreciative of it. But I don't tell
Absolutely.
Them how to vote. I just say, here's a debate that they had, and you won't be able to find this debate online. It is that obscure, it's hidden. And they were very appreciative of getting that kind of information. So that's my suggestion. And
I agree.
I have found out some things that you would not believe. We got candidates running here that are members of the PLO,
Palestinian Liberation Organization.
And that was all buried. And I'm telling you, people need to do some research, or they're going to be very disappointed in who they get elected.
Great call, Billy. And you're right. It's, you know, again, these nonpartisan voter guides used to be so popular, and now it's so hard to find them. But I agree with everything you said. It helps out. And like I said, I had to reach out to some people locally and say, who's running for school board? It helps. You got to help each other. Let's go to Scott from Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Scott, line 4. Thanks for calling in, Scott.
Yeah, thank you. I think the church growth movement of the 90s had a lot to do with
yes.
Actually, it was the death knell for law and gospel preaching in our pulpits, and they basically replaced the Decalogue with one commandment, thou shalt not offend. And you simply cannot voice concerns about anything outside of, you know, the sloppy agape love stuff and not offend somebody. So churches are simply unwilling to do that.
Very good point. Very good point, because we opened up the doors and wanted the world to be comfortable. Therefore, we couldn't take a stand on controversial issues. That's divisive. Of course, the gospel's divisive, so they left out the gospel. They left out any Christian response to the issues of the day. They didn't want to talk about creation versus evolution. You know, that's controversial. And we look stupid because we're not scientific, don't you know, they would say. And we don't want to talk about Bible prophecy because that scares people. Nobody really knows anyway. So nobody can understand it, they would say. And everybody, even good people, can't agree. So you're right. They threw out the gospel, creation, prophecy, and a Christian worldview on the issues of the day so that we can make comfortable goats amongst the sheep. Wow, great call. Thank you so much, Scott. Let's go to Dwight. Dwight, line 1, calling from Gilbert, Arizona. Thank you. Oh, Dwight's gone. All right, let's go to Mark.
No, I'm not. I'm here.
Oh, you're not? You're there?
I'm here.
Hey, Dwight.
I'm here.
Hey.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry
yes.
about that.
Thank you for taking my call. One thing I wanted to mention is, last Sunday, our pastor at our church here, Without Walls, took the two political platforms, put them side by side, put them on the ground, and started saying, people, look at the political platforms. Look at what each party is standing for, and find out which one aligns with the Bible, and vote that way. And he said, you start from God down to person, not person up to God.
Wow, great call. Mark from Newark, Ohio. Go quick, Mark. We'll get you in, Mark.
Yeah, I believe what you said about that political thing, that they mask their agenda, and then when they get in, they enact that agenda. And that one guy, when he was talking about an old man coming to the church and said, no, we can't do that because separation of church and state. Didn't that man know that our laws is from the Bible?
Wow. The moral law, the Decalogue, the laws of nature, nature's God. Dr. Andy Woods has been our guest. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. AndyWoodsMinistries.org. Stay tuned for Crosstalk. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brannon House, and I cannot stress enough how important it is that you go to mypillow.com and use the promo code WVW as in Worldview Weekend. Not only will you save up to 66% on sheets, towels, blankets, dog beds, pet beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins, and any of the 110 plus products. Not only will you save up to 66% on your purchase by using the very powerful promo code WVW, but did you know that with each purchase, a generous portion comes back to WVW Broadcast Network? Last year in 2021, we were able to replace all of our 12-year-old plus cameras. They were at least 12 years old. They were old HD cameras. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because you used the promo code WVW. That's how important it is. You may think, well, is it really that important? Yeah, it is. We wouldn't have, I don't think, the brand new cameras we have today if we had not had your support by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code WVW. Now, not only do we have to buy new equipment, maintain the equipment, but we have bandwidth bill. Every month, we pay thousands of dollars in storage and bandwidth so that you can watch the free TV shows at WVW. If you listen to the radio show for free, I have to pay for the bandwidth. The radio shows and TV shows are free for you to watch, but I have to pay for the bandwidth. How do we cover that bill? One way is by those of you that go to MyPillow.com and you use the promo code WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, WVW. Will you do that right now? Will you do me another favor? Will you ask your family and friends to go to MyPillow.com? Look, we all need sheets, towels, blankets, comforters, dog beds, bathrobes, slippers, moccasins. You're not only supporting a great company and the work of Mike Lindell, you're also supporting the free radio and TV shows at WVW Broadcast Network. I really need you to go there right now. Please, don't delay. Go right now to MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. This is a great way for you to support our work and get something in return. Please do it right now. MyPillow.com and use the promo code WVW. Thank you.